So good morning. It wasn't for nothing that I used car pieces today for our children. Children, you are dismissed to Children's Church if you haven't seen that message. But about 104 years ago, there was something that came off the line. Let's see if I have it first thing. Probably turn that on first. That probably worked better. Maybe not. All right, we have a picture of a car up there. You guys have me switched over? All right, there we go. So this, 104 years ago, this 1/1000th of one of these. Anybody know what that is? It's famous. What's that? Model T, actually. That's a Model T. That's an A? That's a Model T. That's a Model T. What are you arguing with me? This is a hard start with you, mister. All right. It's a Model T. 1/1000th one came off the assembly line 104 years ago, okay? And Mr. Ford became a master of a technology that had been really been around for quite a while at that point. Another 100 years before that, Eli Whitney came up with this concept of interchangeable parts so that he was actually manufacturing guns for the government at the time, Eli Whitney, back in the 1700s. Early 1800s, and he found that if you have almost exactly identical parts, you can switch them out, right? And so it made it much easier for us to reproduce guns. Well, 100 years later, plus, Mr. Ford starts putting that to practice in building automobiles. And so he is really, he's famous, he's not really the guy who created the automobile, but he's the one that really made it work, right? He's the one that made it possible for every American to have an automobile, essentially. And so he was putting these Model Ts out left and right. And the reason he was able to do it was because of interchangeable parts. Now, I was asking the kids about how interchangeable they are and how interchangeable you are. And if there's a message for you to hear today, I want you to understand. I think this goes really to the philosophy and the mindset of church today. You are not an interchangeable part. We don't stick you on we don't come off of a line where it's just you're just the same. In fact, I would venture to say that if the body of Christ, even small body of Christ here in Amherst Baptist, if we were all the same, we would be in a serious, serious problem. We'd be in serious trouble. Sameness eventually equals death. You know that your body is becoming more and more like itself. The cells within itself is becoming more and more like itself. One philosopher would say, even unto the fact that you become dust, you become a pile of dust, it is decomposing to the point where you are all one thing. Similarity, identical similarity is death. Well, let's take that to the church. I don't want you to be standardized. I don't want, and God has not designed us to be a body of a standard, a singularity. Yes, we want to follow Jesus Christ, but every single one of us has a unique and beautiful way that he wants to use you in the body of Christ. He wants to connect you to the body of Christ in a special way so that you can be used in a unique and beautiful and God-pleasing and visionary way. You're not interchangeable. And so much of the philosophy, I think, of our church life today, in America particularly, is that, you know what, if I don't like what I hear, or I don't like what I do, or what I see, or whatever, I can just bounce to the next church because I'm replaceable there, and I can just go to another place. The body of Christ is not made up of interchangeable parts. You are unique. And when you find the body of Christ that you belong in, you need to thrive there. You need to multiply there. You need to find your joy and your contentment there. And so we're talking about God's design for the body of Christ today. I want you to see, because we talked last week a lot about conflict and crisis. We're going to have to do something about this because this is not going to make me happy. I will find my joy elsewhere. But you do something about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 says this. No, you can go. You got it. Go back. There we go. He comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So last week when we talked about the crisis and the conflict of sin, as well as the conflict that we find ourselves health-wise, and we find all these issues that we encounter, there's a body of Christ for that. There is a Jesus that lives in the body of Christ that is meant to satisfy your needs. And your crises should be something that we come together around. If you're suffering, in other words, and I have suffered in like manner, or if I can empathize with you in any way, then it is my job as a part of the body of Christ to sympathize and to comfort you, to come alongside of you. This is what 2 Corinthians is talking about, that we are given an opportunity to be a part of the body of Christ in this. And so you go through conflict and you go through crisis so that you, as the body of Christ, may come alongside of other people and walk them through the same crisis, the same conflict, the same difficulty. This is what the body of Christ is to do. And so as we come off of last week and talking about the crises, I want to talk more about God's design. This is part of the design, right? We see this in 2 Corinthians. We're actually going to be focusing on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to be talking about the parts of the body of Christ. We're going to be talking about how you connect, how you interweave. In fact, I want you to put the next slide up there. I believe this is the next one. What are three things that we're going to be looking for in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? You can turn there in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be looking at 12 through 27. And three things I want you to look at. I want you to look for interconnectedness, interdependence, and interwovenness, if you will. How are we interconnected? How are we interdependent? And how are we interwoven? Three things I think you'll notice, whether Paul presumed this upon the way he wrote this or not. I'm just saying the way that I see it, the way I'm reading through it, it looks very progressive. It looks like there are progressive steps. He says, we as the body are interconnected. Look for that, okay? Talk about the ways that we are interconnected as the body of Christ. Number two, how are we interdependent? Not just like puzzle pieces this way, but we are actually interconnected. And then even deeper than that, we are interwoven so that we become a fabric. Maybe a stretchable fabric, but it's a fabric that we are so knit together. And at each level, we're going to be asking ourselves the question, am I that? Am I connected? Am I interdependent on the body of Christ? Am I interwoven? Am I spirit to spirit with you? And I think each one of us needs to take an account of that, because at different parts in our lives, sometimes we are more interwoven than other times. You go through a crisis, you go through a conflict, and we talked about this last week, sometimes we just don't want to be seen. We're fearful of the accountability, we're fearful of the maybe we feel it could be judgment. We're fearful of a lot of things that keep us from being interwoven with the body of Christ. But God is calling us ultimately to be interwoven into his very body of Christ. So that you're not standing aloof. You're not standing isolated in your crisis, but also in your joys. We are called to be interwoven into the very people of God. Because this is our family. When everybody else leaves you aside, this is the family of God. And we could talk about this here amongst ourselves at Amherst Baptist, but we can also talk about a band of brothers that is growing here in Buffalo, ministers and churches that are coming alongside. And we can talk about a band of brothers that goes worldwide, and the more mission that you're on, the more visionary that you become in the body of Christ, the more you realize we are together in this. We are interwoven. And it should energize us to be people on mission all the time, every day. Whether you're in Hong Kong or whether you're here in the United States, here in Tonawanda, here in Parkside, here in Willow Ridge, here in your workplace, we are interwoven and we are have a mission. We have a mission at hand. So let's go to the next one. Let's read this together, actually. And you're just going to have to follow along with that because we have several slides of this if we would read this together. You can read it out loud with me. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Our Father God, thank you for your word. And thank you for the truth that's therein. I pray, Lord God, that you would pierce our hearts today. I pray for those who have held you aloof and afar and have not connected to you, the vine. I pray for those of us, Lord God, in your body who have stood aloof and afar, have not become as dependent upon each other and upon you as our God as we should. And I pray, Lord God, for those of us who have stood afar and aloof, and we have not woven ourselves into the very fabric of who you wish us to be. At every level of this challenge, Lord God, we give it to you. That, Lord God, that you would be at work here. That you would commit our hearts, Lord God, that you would be the Lord of what we think and what we know. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Any luck on that thing? Or? And there's no batteries? Oh, beautiful. All right. Sam, you're the man. You keep up with me. Number one, first thing we're going to talk about is the interconnectedness. And I want you to understand that diversity united by one faith in Christ. So as we look at this, we're looking at specific pieces of this passage. And see what Paul is saying. It would be, what is our cause for unitedness? What is our cause for being together in Christ? Well, Christ is, and that faith in Christ is the crux of the matter, isn't it? So if we look here, and we're going to see a couple words that are used. The next slide. We are baptized by one Spirit. And I want to emphasize here, for those of you who are contemplating whether you ought to be baptized, or whether Paul is talking kind of figuratively or what the deal is here, the reality is that baptism is legitimate, and it is significant, and it is necessary as a step in the body of Christ. It is not essential for your salvation, but it is essential for you to be pointed out as being a person in the body of Christ. That's why we use it as one of our reasons for or one of our ways of joining into the church. The baptism is essential for that regard, okay? You have to be baptized to be part of Amherst Baptist Church. So if you have been considering, you know, what is it that, what's the reason? Why would I have to do that? I don't want to get wet. I think it's embarrassing. I don't know what your reason is for not being baptized. But Paul says right out, if you are a part of the body of Christ, baptism under the faith in Jesus Christ is essential. To be a part of the body, it says we are baptized by one spirit into one body. That tank back there is more than just about getting people wet. It is about inaugurating people into the walk in the body of Christ. Okay? It's not just simply about making a statement. Yes, it is that. But it is the way that Jesus and God has designed for people to show themselves that they want to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves. A submission into the very body of Christ means that, yes, I submit myself to what Jesus wants to do to my life. So take me as I am. Dunk me. And that's it's a symbolism of being buried, right? Burying our sin, coming up in newness of life, as Romans talks about. So this is significant. This is not something we just pass over. Baptism, although it does not bring you salvation, it is very essential, and particularly, I mean, what Paul is talking about here is how significant it was to the body of Christ in the New Testament church, which is us today, right? Because it was a way for people, and it still is a way for people to bring themselves into connectedness. So the question is, are you a believer in Christ? Have you been baptized? For we were all baptized by one spirit into one body. The second part is, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. That's the next slide, Samuel. Keep with me. Interconnected doesn't have boundaries around your class system, how good you smell, how good you look today, how nice your hair is. Thank God, because that doesn't work for me. What your background is, how much sin you have acquired in the past year and past day or whatever. It has nothing to do with whether you are connected. Are you in Jesus? Have you been connected to the vine? Now, this is what we're talking about. We, as the branches, have been connected in. We've been grafted in, right? Paul talks about that as far as Gentiles. We've been grafted in, right? We've been brought into the person of Jesus Christ. Whether you are Jew or Greek, it just means, you know, regardless of your spiritual or your economic or your ethnic background, you have the opportunity to come and be connected to the body of Christ. And then it says, in the spirit to drink. So whether Greek or Jew, whether slaves or free, we are all given one spirit to drink. We've been baptized, regardless of who you are, and the spirit of the Holy God now abides within you. Three things to talk about your connectedness. If you're going to be a part of the body of Christ, and I'm not just talking about Amherst Baptist, I'm talking about being a part of the body of Christ, you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, take in His Spirit upon you, drink it in, allow Him to abide in you, to control you. He is the Lord of your life. You submit yourself in baptism, and you are connected no matter who you are, what's your background. This is the connectedness. And so the challenge would go up. Are you connected to the vine? As a body of Christ, and we know this through other scriptures, okay? John 15 speaks of us as I am the vine. Jesus says, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. But we talk about, are you connected in to the person of Jesus Christ? if we're talking about being a part of the body, there are people within this body right here, within this gathering, I should say, that have not taken this question seriously. You come here, perhaps on occasion, and you have never truly connected yourself to the vine that is Jesus Christ, and therefore you cannot be a part of the body of Christ. You have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord. You have not made him Lord of your life. You have stood afar. You have pushed off the truth as much as you possibly can. And you've tried to reason it out why you haven't made the steps. But you have not connected yourself to the body of Christ because you've not connected yourself to Jesus. And I am asking you today to consider whether today is the day that it is time for you to connect yourself to the very person of Jesus Christ and join the body of Christ in so doing. I want you to stop and I want you to think about that. I want the people around here that have connected themselves to the vine, I want you to take a moment and I want you to pray for those who are contemplating that question. Are you connected to the vine? Just take a moment and consider that. Lord God, your kingdom come, your will be done here in this place and in our hearts as it is in heaven. The second part that I'd like to show you is that there is an interdependence that is spoken of here in this scripture. That there are many parts that are fully and completely reliant upon each other. And trust me, if you're reliant upon me as Eric Napoli, you are, again, in a lot of trouble. But if you, Karen, can rely upon me because of the Jesus Christ that's in me, and I can rely upon you because of the Jesus Christ that is in you, then that's a good reliance. So don't misunderstand me. You're not relying upon me because, you know, I have the best pastor in the world. I know you say that all the time. But, you know, let's just say, you know, that's not the point. True or false doesn't make a difference. The point is, this is not the man. Scott is not the man. We are not the men. We are the body. Okay? And that means that and I believe Scott's going to be covering more and more into this next week, talking about leadership, you know, that really puts a different spin on what leadership in the body of Christ is. Important, yes. Gifted, yes. But ultimate, no. It's one of many, many parts, right? Leadership in the body of Christ. So my interdependence upon you, and some of you have shown yourself to be incredibly dependable as my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love that. There's such a great unity amongst the people of Amherst Baptist. And I'll tell you, it's throughout a great heritage. It's been laid here for generations. I had a couple show up here from Kentucky on Friday, just driving through, kind of thought they were stalking. I was out actually doing the lawn, and I noticed that they were kind of like doing weird things and taking pictures and stuff like that. She finally called me over. She was not elderly, I wouldn't say, but she's up there. And so she came walking over to me. I stopped the mower. I asked her what she was up to. And she said, you know, I used to go here 45 years ago. Curtis Porter was my pastor. I said, oh, I know Curtis Porter. He was my pastor too. So I've been here for a little while. She would know the Patricks. They're probably the only ones that would have still been around back then, I guess. The Abel family, Mrs. Patrick, she's not even here. Okay. She was here. Mary, are you here? No? You gone? The Abel family, and they came through and they walked through. I took them on a little journey through, and she was talking about the different things that took place, and they said how profound, and this woman was talking particularly, how profoundly this place affected her life. She was in her 20s back then, late 60s, early 70s. Profoundly affected her life and the ministry here that she took with her back to Kentucky. She was from Kentucky, came here, moved here by for work, moved back to a different part of Kentucky, and all she has been able to talk about, she says, the people are sick and tired of listening to me talk about Amherst Baptist. She has not been back in New York for 45 years, but she has been talking about the work of God in this place the entire time. It's pretty amazing. That is the dependability of the people of God when Jesus Christ is at work. Jesus has a strange effect upon our lives. A beautiful transformation that happens upon us that causes us to be dependable people. Many parts fully relying on each other. The foot, the hand, the eye, the ear, they cannot say to each other, right? I don't need you. No, the ultimate is true. My ears need my eyes. And it's interesting that if you go blind, how much you are now more reliant, right? The reliance doesn't go away. It gets stronger. If you get a sore foot and you can't walk around, some of you know about this. You get a sore back and you're hunched over, or you have a sore at any place in your body, you realize the dependency of one piece of the body to the next. And Paul is saying, you need each other. I need you to be a man of God. I need you to stand up and take note of what God is doing in your life. And get right with God. I need you to do that because I'm dependent upon you as my brother. I need you to be right with God so that I can depend upon you because I'm not an island. I'm not a solo up here. We need each other. This is not about you anymore. This is about the body of Christ. So get right with God. We depend upon you. And you depend upon me, but not any more than I depend upon you. Let's get that out of our heads. Leadership in this church is a part of the whole. And we are equally dependent upon you, if not more so. There's a lot more of you out there, and we are dependent upon you. Am I dependent upon you to make sure you're here every time the door is open? No, that's not what I'm dependent upon you about. I'm dependent upon you as being a man of God and a woman of God that seek after the heart of God so that we can be the body of Christ together, energetically, vibrantly, thriving, energetically multiplying the work of God into this world, being on mission together. And yeah, I depend upon you to be joy-filled followers of Jesus Christ. I totally depend upon you because that is the light of Christ going into our world. And this is about these three things: partnership, proximity, and potency. Those are just my thing. It's just my P words. Yeah, it doesn't really matter what you put up there. There are things involved in this, okay, is my point. This is not just a symbol word that's put out there. God has arranged us, and that word arranged there is talking about he is placed. He is placed intricately in place. You have come to this place to be set into place and into motion. He has arranged us together. He has arranged us to work together. I was blessed last night. Catherine and I were invited to what's called Kingdom Come Banquet. It is a ministry of the chapel. It's really just basically their mission banquet. And because we have been working with Sheridan Parkside, and they have been a partner with us. We sat there amongst, I think they said, 80 different ministries. And it was like it was just like a beautiful picture of heaven. And I was talking to Mike Fiala about it. It's everybody from everywhere. It's just, you know, and it wasn't obviously every ministry, but it was people from all different organizations, all different mindsets, all different denominations. It was all people working together. That's a partnership. When I walk down into Awana and I watch people taking on the responsibility for children in Puggles, we're little tiny people, right? And then we have all the way up. That's an amazing thing for God to be at work using his people in partnership. I love that. I'm a part of Christ Together. That's just my in-laws. Don't worry about it. They're from Alabama. This is my father-in-law and his wife, Linda. That's not to put you on the spot. I'm sorry. But I'm trying to make the awkwardness go away. And it's just, we'll just send her out. That's okay. It's okay. But, you know, I'm a part of this thing called Christ Together, where it's all the pastors from the Tonawandas that all come together because I've been part, again, with Sheridan Parkside. There's, Father Ward from the St. Bart's. He's kind of one of the leaders. And then Josh from New Covenant. Jim is part of that. This guy, Jim, he's part of our Christ Together group. I love the partnership with all these different people and how the kingdom of God grows and thrives and multiplies because of partnership. It's networking, but it's not just simply like that that concept of networking that the corporate nature, like we're all in this to get something out of it, right? No, we're all in this to give ourselves to it. So when Jim is on the computer and he's proclaiming the gospel to college students and such on Third Choice, you know, that is part of the kingdom. That is what I want to be a part of. I want to partner with that. And when the Episcopal Church is preaching the gospel, actually they're Anglican, St. Bart's is Anglican. When they are preaching the gospel and they are proclaiming truth, I want to be a part of that because they are about leading people to Jesus Christ. And if it's the New Covenant Tabernacle and they're under leadership that is just, you know, pushing them towards vision and towards mission, and they're also partnering with Sheridan Parkside and with food banks and all that kind of stuff, I want to be a part of that. That is the kingdom of God at work in partnership, and we're close together in proximity. God has placed us together. He has arranged us together, and we can go into that. You're sitting next to each other pretty closely. You're in proximity to each other. Within this body, you have a proximity to each other. Learn how God has arranged you to be the body of Christ together. And you'll see power, the power of Christ, ring and reign through you. My goodness, the unified body of Christ. There is nothing like it. There is no power like it. There is no efficiency like it. The power of Jesus Christ transforms places. I am counting on that. And I'm counting on Jesus Christ transforming us so that it can transform Sheridan Parkside. And when I talk to partners about that, I talk about the transformational power of Jesus Christ. That cannot happen with simply Eric and Catherine. That is a partnership that we are totally reliant upon the body of Christ to come and do that. And look at this. It seems like a little tiny words in here, but this is very important. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. It says he has arranged these things just as he wanted. Just as he wanted. It is his will. It is his sovereignty. It is not my mind, my will, my sovereignty over a situation. It is not my little kingdom to be built. We so frequently, even in small microcosms, we think of ourselves in little kingdoms. My family will be number one at all things. It's my kingdom. My church is better than that church. That's a kingdom. Well, you should see our worship. That's a kingdom. Well, anytime you're comparing, every time you're putting something up against another, and you're not proclaiming, and I'm not just talking about haphazardly kind of like, on the cuff, the little shallow things, like we say, well, Jesus is glorified. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having a heart that is all about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's all about him. It is all about his work. It is about his kingdom. And my kingdom has nothing to do with anything. Less of me, more of him. Right? And so I can walk and I can tout about the great things that the chapel is doing because they are a different part of the body of Christ than I am, than we are. And we were just talking, I was talking to my father-in-law about this, that, you know, the chapel, number one, had this profound influence on bringing me to Jesus Christ, as well as my father. As well as basically my whole family, you know. The chapel has a profound effect of evangelizing, particularly in the 70s and 80s, perhaps even today. They have a great piece of the puzzle. But I don't look down at ourselves because we're smaller than the chapel, because we're a completely different part. I pray to God that there are thousands of people that come to Jesus Christ through the chapel. And if they're able to take those guys and they're able to disciple them well, all of them, so be it. Praise God. But if there is a part that we can play in discipling and taking people from them handing us off, this is why the partnership is so incredible, because then they say, you know what, you probably be served better here. Or you might be able to serve better here. And so now we're in partnership with each other, and there's different ministries and different things going on. It's not my kingdom. So when I'm in youth ministry, and I'm bringing in kids from all different churches and sending them back out to their churches, now I don't have any of those kids. Those kids are all serving all different churches. There's a dozen kids who have come through this youth ministry that are all serving other churches. Because it's not my kingdom. And people have scratched their head like, why? What would you, why would you, 20 years ago, they're asking this. Like, why would you do that? Why would you spend your time with those people from that denomination, from that background? Because it's not my kingdom. And if they're today, 20 years later, bringing Jesus Christ into the lives of others, praise Jesus. Jim, we shared some students, didn't we, back in the day? When you were a student minister back in the 90s and into the 2000s, right? There were kids of ours that went to Randall. There were kids from Randall that came to ours. It all had to do with friends. It had to do with where the discipleship was fitting in. Still to this day, it's the same thing. That is kingdom ministry. We cannot be trying to build up ourselves to make our own names. So we'll move on from there. There's a lot I could say about that, but here's the challenge. Do you view the church, yourself, or your brothers as interchangeable parts? Do you feel like you could just pack up and leave? Nobody would care. Nobody would miss you. Not doing anything there anyways. Not getting fed, you might say. Not getting this. I'm not getting that. Is that what you feel? Is that the energy? Because if that's your view, if that's what you see, then you're really totally missing the whole point. You're not interchangeable. If you're supposed to be here, then you need to be here, and you need to be connected, and you need to be dependable, and you need to be interdependent, and you need to be a part of the body of Christ, accountable to the body of Christ, accountable to your brothers and sisters in Christ, praying with your brothers and sisters in Christ, doing Bible study together with your brothers and sisters in Christ, doing these things that make you interdependent upon each other. Get into a small group. Get into, and it's not just about being busy people. It's about how are we going to nurture the Spirit of God within us so that we can be more dependable. If you're not doing Mighty Men and you need to do that, I'm pretty sure Brian will still find a way, at least help you to addendum some parts of that, right? There are things that we can do as people of the body of Christ to engage ourselves into the dependency. So I want you to stop and I want you to think. Let me just say this as well. If you feel that you can walk out of this place today and there would be no difference in this body if you walked out those doors? It's number one, it's either false, and people would have an issue with that. Or if that really is true and you leave no hole here when you leave, that means that you've not connected. You have not become dependable or dependent. Now, let me just say that is a hard truth. I've had people that have left this place in a huff, and they leave, and they go to another church, and nobody knew they were gone. Because, not because we're uncaring, it's because they didn't leave a hole. They didn't initiate. They didn't engage. They didn't connect. They weren't dependent, and they weren't dependable. So the body of Christ continues to go on. What I'm saying to you is this. Here's the challenge. You should be leaving a legacy. You should be making a mark. Here at Amherst Baptist, if you're supposed to be here, you need to be making a mark. And make it stick. I don't want to see you go, obviously. But if there's another place that you think you can make a mark better, then let God do that in you. And I've had those as well. I've had some great conversations of people who weren't doing anything here. They left and they went to another church, and I met them, and I said, oh, I've been missing you. Oh, well, we just found this place is just really, we're really connected. That's what I'm looking for. What am I supposed to be? Ah, nuts, we lost another one. No, they're getting met. They are being nurtured. They are being interwoven into a community. That's the way they're supposed to be. And that's my best hope for you. If you're not supposed to be here, then you shouldn't be here. But go find a place that you're going to be interwoven and get used of God. Will you please? Do that for us. Do that for the kingdom of God, because then I'm going to be dependent on you at that church, because we're brothers and sisters. And just because you go to another church, I just want to see you thriving, multiplying, and joy-filled. Take a moment and see if that's your heart. Just a moment. Consider how you look at yourself in this regard. And then lastly, talk about being interwoven. The note sheet has the verses for you. Start to look at verse 25. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division. How are we knit together? Why should we be knit together? Why are we supposed to be spirit to spirit, knit together in closeness? This is beyond just close proximity. This is just about is beyond just a friendship, right? Now, over the years, Rich and I believe our hearts have become knit together. We're woven, right? We have served together. We have watched each other up. And I could look around the room, and there's many of us who have been in service and in mission and in ministry together. That weaves us together. It knits us together, right? Because we are now spirit to spirit. We don't always see it. He's not exactly like me. He doesn't look like me. He doesn't always think like me. But that's the uniqueness of the body of Christ, right? All different parts. Thinking and working. And working these things through. There's no division. This is what Paul is saying here. I want you to be knit together so that there be no division amongst you. There be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern. Okay, the word for division there, that Greek word is schism. You're familiar with that word? It's historic as well, right? The great schism the great separation, the great division. And now we're talking about this concept of concern. And it is a passion. This is the word that's used here. It's actually the same exact word for passion. When you talk about the passion of Christ, this is the same word. The same passion. It goes along with the next one about suffering. A heart that is looking at each other with concern and is suffering alongside of each other. Right? Romans 12 talks about weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. This is, again, this is the body of Christ responding to each other. Being concerned. We see this in Ephesians chapter 2 as well, right? That you're concerned for each other. That you have this mind as Christ did, and not taking all your own thoughts upon yourself, but you're actually looking after the needs of others. In humility, consider others as better than yourself. This is the concern. And then, interestingly, Paul's writing this at about the time, now actually today, today is the day that Emperor Nero took over as emperor in 54 AD. So we got October 13th. October 13th, year 54. You want to talk about suffering? They hadn't known suffering in the body of Christ as much as they're about to know. Nero was around in the time, during this time that Paul is speaking, okay, and he, Nero does a job against the Christians and crushes them as much as possible. And the Christians rise up and they continue to thrive. They continue to multiply. Paul is talking in a time of great suffering. Families being ripped apart, bodies being ripped apart, Colosseum-wise. A great suffering. This is what James is talking about a little bit later on, right? Consider it all joy and all kinds of trials and sufferings. We go through these things so that God can create in us a fresh new look, a new transformation within us. And then we also have rejoicing, right? The rejoicing of the saints together. It's not just all the bad times we have to share with each other, but we also get the good times. Here's the problem. We have built so many kingdoms up that we grow jealous and we grow ugly when our brothers and sisters have great successes. And this should not be. I remember when this church in 1985 crashed and burned. I remember I was a young student. And I remember, because Amherst at that point was pretty much, it was a strong body of Christ at that time. Worship was, you know, really something that people looked at, and all kinds of things were going on, ministry. And in 85, it crashed and burned. Went from about, 300-400 people down to 30 in 5 years. And I remember very vividly, because I was old enough at that time, I was getting into my teenage years, and I would hear of churches that were celebrating the demise because they were gaining where we were losing. People were going to other churches, and all these great people, they were all believers in Christ, and they had great, great stories, and churches went up by the hundreds. New churches were begun. Because instead of suffering with those who suffer, we rejoice while people are suffering. And I would look back at us as well in years to follow after that. As God built us up and other churches collapsed, I had a burden and a heart for the churches that were suffering and going through crazy divisions and splits and all kinds of junk that was going on in those next years in the 90s. And that should be our heart. reaching out and saying, brother, how can I pray for you? Okay, you're caught in sin. Let's get this right. Let's be gracious to each other, and let's figure out how we are going to be the body of Christ together. Now, you might need to step down from your position as pastor. I get that, but let me walk that through with you. Let's walk this through because we are together. We are a band of brothers and sisters, and we are to be one in Christ, one body, one baptism. And we each have a special part. And if that place goes down and they were charismatic and they were really filled with the Spirit and they were doing all kinds of stuff, then we need to go and help to rescue them. Oh, they're a different denomination. We don't really... What are you talking about? We're either kingdom people or we're not. And we're either rescuing and helping out the people who are suffering or we're not. And let's just stop calling ourselves the body of Christ then. Because the body of Christ does not end at the backside of this wall. The body of Christ is everybody kingdom-minded. So let's start acting like that, right? So we're rejoicing with those who rejoice. We suffer with those who suffer. We weep with those who weep. So that we may be seen as the body of Christ. And he finally ends up with this great statement. You are the body of Christ. Now he's talking to the Corinthians. And he's talking to the people of God. And he's talking to that locally. And he's talking about that regionally. And he's talking about that holistically, worldwide. We are the body of Christ. And his plan and his design for ministry includes each other. Have you allowed your heart to be interwoven with believers here at ABC? If you're members here, if you have been water baptized, and you have received Jesus Christ into your life, and you have received the Spirit of God into your life, and that's the question, right? Are you allowing yourself to be interwoven into the very fabric of what God is doing here? I'm not going to pull any punches. This right here, we are a local body of Christ called Amherst Baptist. And if you're a part of us, then we need to be interwoven in our hearts and in service and in love and in all the things of Christ. Because that's what we're called to, right? It doesn't isolate us. It doesn't make us better. It doesn't do any of that other stuff, that kingdom stuff we were talking about. But it says, are we going to walk forward in a vision that's called the vision of God for Amherst Baptist Church? And we don't need to be weird about that. I'm not like some, you know, pro ABC guy. You know, I'm for you. I'm your pastor. I want to be there for you and all that. But this is kingdom work. So let's find out what God has for us. Have you allowed your heart to be interwoven with believers here? You're standing aloof. You're waiting. You've been hurt too much in other places. And so you're just kind of like, I'm going to wait and see if anybody really is going to hurt me so I don't have to actually get involved. That's lame. I'm sorry. That's really lame. If you're part of the body of Christ and you've been injured, then come be interwoven and be healed by the body of Christ. And if you need to go back to the place where you were wounded and hurt and all that stuff, then go and do that and be used as the body of Christ. Do it. We are dependent upon each other to do so. So I just want to ask you guys to consider your part. What is your part? Today, there's three challenges. If you are not connected into the vine of Christ, if you are not a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you have no idea what we're talking about because body doesn't make any sense to you. It's time for that to change. Get connected into the body of Christ through Jesus Christ by making him your Lord and Savior today. Number two, if you have stood aloof, you've perhaps built up your own kingdom, you have remained outside because you do not want to be dependent upon anybody, much less the body of Christ, which maybe has let you down or whatever you thought, if that's the case, Let's get that right today. It's time for you to become dependent and dependable. And lastly, if you have resisted being interwoven into the spirit-to-spirit kinship and fellowship with this place so that you are usable as the body of Christ, let's make that right today. I have some music. Let's just take some time to stay seated. Let's even go into it right now, even as they come. Let's just go into a time of contemplation and prayer.